You know the phrase, wolves in sheep's clothing? In the context of the church, that refers to false teachers. So the question is, what should you do about teachers who lead their flocks astray? Go on a wolf hunt? Find out next on Grace to You. In World War II, the sides were clear, the Axis forces on one side, the Allied forces on the other, and drawing a line between the combatants was relatively easy. But in the Christian's never-ending struggle to defend the truth of the gospel, the enemy isn't always easy to spot. Today on Grace to You, John MacArthur launches a brand new series that unmasks an enemy far more lethal than those who are openly opposed to the Bible, an enemy within the church, maybe your church. John calls this study Spiritual Terrorism. John, that's a jolting title there, but of course I know it's not just for effect. The issue you're about to address with our listeners is deadly serious.
It is deadly serious, Carl. Nothing is more serious than an assault on the truth. You go back to the book of Genesis. Everything went bad and has continued to be bad since an assault on the truth. Satan comes into the garden, says to Eve, "Has God really said that?" And with that doubt, creates skepticism about what God said. Then goes even further and said, "God lied to you. You won't die, even though he said you would." Questioning the truth of God has catapulted the entire universe as we know it into a fallen condition. It spelled the fall of mankind and his whole environment. Fighting for the truth is critical. And the issue of spiritual terrorism considers that very reality. We're looking at spiritual terrorists who invade the church with their damning lies, attempting to corrupt the truth, confuse people, and send people on their way to an eternity without God. Can you recognize a spiritual terrorist? Do you know what their bombs and their explosive and damaging devices look like? Do you know truth from error? If you have any question about your ability to do that, this series is for you, and it's timely. Don't miss a day as we study spiritual terrorism.
Make sure you know how to spot enemies in the church, overcome their lies, and stay vigilant in the battle for truth. Here again is John MacArthur to kick off the brand new study on Grace to You called Spiritual Terrorism.
Jude is the epistle that we are currently studying. This brief epistle, just 25 verses, but are they ever packed with truth? The key to the epistle is to understand verse 3. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." Jude, who is the half-brother of our Lord Jesus and the brother of James, another of our Lord's half-brothers, wrote this epistle, he says, having changed his original intention, appealing to us to contend earnestly for the Christian faith, the truth, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That is to say, delivered in the Scripture. This is calling us to battle, the truth war. And everywhere I go in the world, the truth is under attack by those who hate it and desire to undermine it or assault it. The most devastating attacks, however, that come on the truth come from those who claim to love and believe it. The devastating attacks come from those who say they believe it, are attached to it, and in fact assault it. Defending the truth against those who attack from the inside is very difficult. Defending the truth against those who claim to be the true teachers of God's truth takes great discernment and fortitude and resolve and endurance. And Jude, our Lord's half-brother, wrote this epistle, major, major epistle, to call us to engage ourselves in the protection of the truth. Against those who are on the inside, verse 4, certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Verse 12, these men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts. They feast with you. They're inside the church. They're at the Lord's table, at the love feast. They've crept in. The most dangerous part of the battle goes on inside the church against apostates who call themselves Christians but are without the Holy Spirit and without salvation. So Jude writes to help us in the battle. And he introduces the apostates to us in the text before us. Let's go back to verse 4. Because here we are introduced to the apostates from three sides: their presence, their prediction, and their portrayal. And this description is not just inimitable to Jude. It's not just historic. It doesn't just belong then. It is a description that's very helpful to us now. Let's begin with the presence of apostates, that opening line in verse 4, "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed." The Greek word here is only used here in the New Testament. It's one of those words that doesn't appear anywhere else. And it has the idea of sneaking in. It is used outside the Bible in some secular Greek uses to describe the cunning cleverness of a lawyer who sneaks into the minds of the jury or the judge to corrupt their clear thinking. It basically means to sneak in secretly with an evil intent. And this is what we have to face. 2 Peter chapter 2 says, "False prophets also arose among the people, also there will be false teachers among you," listen, "who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be maligned." There's that secretly again. There are lots of false teachers outside the church who make no secret about the fact that they hate Christianity. They teach some lie, some deception. They're rather readily recognizable because they don't make any claim to belong to the church. The ones that are far more dangerous are the counterfeits. They sneak in unnoticed. They slip in by the side door. The term actually means, if you just took the word and broke it down, it means to go down into and alongside. They get in the fabric of the church. And they get everywhere they can get. They get into the books, they get into the radio, they get into the television, they get into the seminaries, they get into the colleges, and they get into the pulpits, and they get into any sphere of influence they can. And they do their devastating corruption from inside. They were there in Jude's day, and they are still around. Satan always sows his tares among the wheat. False brethren. Now notice they are called certain persons. It's a rather vague description, isn't it? But he has in mind apostates. We don't know specifically who they were. It's not important for us to know what heresy existed at that time. They were apostates. We don't know exactly the full range of the deviation of their teaching. But calling them certain persons is interesting to me because it sort of fits the way they come in. They just sort of slide in without any fanfare. Untitled, unidentified at first until they've gained their ground. When the Christian church first began to move out in the world, there were adverse powers outside ready to crush the church. Jesus was warning them that, they'll arrest you, and they'll take you to court, they'll put you in prison, they'll kill you. There were haters of the truth who wanted to crush the church. But as time went on, the enemy went inside, trying to eat the church up on the inside. Thomas Manton said, "They are libertines who, like worms bred within the body, seek to devour the entrails and eat the very heart. They cause people to turn aside from the truth. They cause people to be corrupted. They cause the fellowship of the faithful to be lost. They cause worship to become a travesty. The church turns itself over to fables and follies. Certainly our Lord Jesus prophesied about this, but He prophesied about wolves who would enter the flock in Matthew chapter 7, those who would come in and devastate by devouring the sheep, by bringing their lies and deceptions in and attacking like a wolf attacks a herd of sheep. And He did say that they would be dressed in sheep's clothing. That means they would come wearing the garment of a prophet. Prophets wore wool garments and traditionally were viewed that way. There would be apostasy in the church, Jesus said. Paul warned of it, again back in Acts 20. The Corinthian church was infiltrated by apostates. The Galatians were infiltrated by apostates. The Colossians were infiltrated by apostates. The letters that John wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, indicate that the recipients of those letters were infiltrated by apostates. Certainly those to whom Jude writes are going to be experiencing the same thing. Peter warned was going to come on a massive level. 2 Peter was written before Jude, and Jude does refer back to 2 Peter, as we'll see in a moment. Peter warned about it. So Jesus warned about it. John warned about it. Paul warned about it. Peter warned about it, and Jude says it's here. It is here. And it isn't that he describes some theology, doesn't get into the nuances of what it was they believed. It's not important to develop the full-blown system. Might have been some form of what later became Gnosticism. Might have been some form of what later was called Nicolaitanism in the book of Revelation. It was some early form of what we today might call modernism or cultism or antinomianism, living in a lawless fashion. Some denial of the person of Jesus Christ. But for us to know, it was just some certain persons. They don't need to be defined. It isn't what they teach that really matters. It's what they attack, namely the truth. Jude may have known who they were and may have known what it was that they taught, but he doesn't say. Except he gives us some pretty good hints that are somewhat universal, which we'll see in a moment. So this then is the first thing to understand about apostasy. Apostates penetrate. They sneak in and they come into the church from which they do their great damage. The church is always going to have them in their midst. There never will be a field sowed by the Lord that isn't oversown by the devil. There will always be tares. And because apostasy is present, because it's penetrated the life of the church, the battle rages inside. And I know that's not popular. Everybody wants to say, oh, why don't you just lighten up? Why don't you just ease up? We all believe in the same Jesus. But we don't. And we have to fight for the true faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. And so the presence of the apostates indicated in verse 4, then the prediction regarding these apostates, just so you view them in the correct light, these certain persons have crept in unnoticed, and then this is said of them, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. What an interesting statement. Immediately after identifying apostates, Jude says, their end has been predicted. They were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation. That is to say, their judgment was progegramenoi, pre-programmed. It was written out in advance, marked out. That is to say, they were ordained by God for nothing but judgment. Condemnation. There's no need in trying to save them or rescue them. They are deadly dangerous. They are children of destruction, sons of wrath.
marked out for judgment. It is already predetermined, their end. Long ago, he says, long beforehand, apostates were warned about their end. Drop down to verse 14 for a moment. About these apostates, Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied. This goes way back, way back. And he said, behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Boy, he really got carried away with the word ungodly, didn't he? That's what they are. They are ungodly. And they are ordained to condemnation, and they were ordained to condemnation long ago, even seven generations from Adam. This is nothing new. This is all the way back in the patriarchal period when it was established what the end of these people will be. So for us to take our stand against them is simply to join in the condemnation that's already been written on them, written beforehand. That, by the way, that participle, just on a technical note, those who were long before marked out, that participle is in the perfect tense, meaning it was done in the past and its effects continue to the present. Jude is saying that the word concerning their destiny was made in the past and still in full authority and effect right now. Their doom has been predicted from long ago. From Enoch's time on to Peter, who wrote about it, Jesus spoke of it, and now Jude himself. Apostasy has always been damned, always been damned. In fact, a good way to translate this would be those who were already marked out for this condemnation. Already marked out for this condemnation. Listen to what Peter says, 2 Peter 2:3. Speaking in that same passage I read a moment ago about the false prophets who secretly introduced destructive, damnable heresies. He says in verse 3, in their greed they will exploit you with false words, lies. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God didn't spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and if God didn't spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, and if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. The point is, if God did all that to those who turned away from the truth, you can be sure He's going to keep His pledge to the apostates throughout all of history. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not sleeping. Their judgment, the language is their judgment is now pending. Perdition waits for them with unsleeping eyes. The verdict was in long ago. Isaiah wrote about the damnation of apostates. Isaiah 8, Isaiah 9, Isaiah 47. Jeremiah wrote about the damnation of apostates. Jeremiah 5, 13 and 14, verses 30 and 31. Hosea 9, verses 7 to 9. Zephaniah 3, 1 to 8. The prophets spoke of this judgment. So Jude is saying to us, look, rise up to contend earnestly for the faith against those apostates who are present inside the church calling themselves Christians. And don't hesitate to engage in an assault on them because they have already been ordained to condemnation. That is to say, when you attack them, you are doing the work of God. You're doing the work of God. You don't have to pull any punches. You don't have to hold back. They're already ordained for condemnation. Now that leads us to a third point that he makes here. From the presence of these apostates to the prediction regarding these apostates, he comes to the portrayal of them. And Jude introduces us to three fronts upon which we can see their ungodliness made manifest. First is character, second is conduct, and third is creed. They are characterized as ungodly as to their character. They're perverters of grace as to their conduct. They are deniers of Christ as to their creed. So let's look at the character of these apostates. They are asebeia, is the Greek term. They are ungodly. That is to say, they are without worship. They are without a connection to God. It refers to a total lack of all reverence for God. By the way, asebeia was used by the early church fathers to refer to atheists and heretics. And they are in the church. They're in the church. They teach in the seminaries that say they're Christian. They teach in the colleges that say they're Christian. They're the clerics all over the place who say they represent Christ and they're Christians. And some of them are theological liberals, and some of them deny the truths of the gospel, and some of them molest children, etc., etc. But all of them speak of God and speak of Jesus and speak of love and speak of the Bible. They're ungodly as to their character, without God, without reverence, without the fear of the Lord. As to their conduct, back up to verse 4 again, they are persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness. You know, this is sort of a backhanded affirmation of grace, isn't it? It really is. It's a backhanded definition of grace. They take grace and make it an excuse for licentiousness. Doesn't surprise me at all that thousands are conducting themselves in the way they're conducting themselves in such horrific acts of immorality. Doesn't surprise me. There are classic illustrations of people who are utterly and absolutely without God trying to carry on a deception as if they truly represent God and being victims of their flesh. This is their conduct. And that's why we said, when you look behind a false teacher, you will find corruption. Not only the love of money, but the inability to control the flesh. It's absolutely inevitable. Because the only thing that restrains the flesh is godliness. And then he mentions their creed. Their character is ungodly. Their conduct is licentious. And their creed is they deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Some way, somehow, they deny. And the key words, Master and Lord, they will not live under the sovereign lordship of Christ. They will not live under the sovereign lordship of Christ. This is true of false teachers. In their hidden secret life, they are king. They will not come under the master, the despotane, the sovereign rule. They will not come under Kurios, the Lord, referring to him in a title of honor. They are not meek. They are blatant, proud, egotistical sovereigns of their own domain. And so you meet the apostates. And remember, they're not on the outside, they're on the inside. Be discerning. Be discerning. Look for those who have a pure understanding of who Jesus Christ is, a pure understanding, a biblical understanding of the gospel, and who have demonstrably humble, broken, bowing, bending lives of submission and humility before the lordship of Jesus Christ. Look for those who live circumspect lives of righteousness and purity. Look for those who are characterized as worshipers who fear God above all and desire to honor and to reverence Him. It just seems to me that it never, ever, ever ends. You just get rid of one heresy and another one comes. Can't even keep up with it. We're always in the battle. Satan's always twisting and perverting and altering and bringing some new deception. But learn to be discerning, to see their character, to see their conduct, to see their creed, and to fight for the truth against that.
John MacArthur has shown you the character, conduct, and creed of the apostates, the spiritual terrorists infiltrating the church. You'll find out how to resist their subtle but deadly invasion as John continues this new study called Spiritual Terrorism here on Grace to You. Now, our time on radio is obviously very limited. There's so much more that John's sermons have to offer than what we have time to air. So let me recommend this, that you purchase a copy of this new study in its completeness on CD or MP3. Listen to every message at your own pace. Ask for the study, Spiritual Terrorism, as you contact us today. The cost for the 10 CDs is $44. Shipping is free. Call to order yours at 1-800-55-GRACE. That's a toll-free number and, of course, available day or night, 800-55-GRACE. Now, you can purchase those CDs or the MP3 downloads online at the website. The MP3s are $3 per lesson download. Just log on to gty.org. Again, the title you're requesting, Spiritual Terrorism. Call 1-800-55-GRACE to order the CDs, or online, you can order the CDs or MP3 downloads at gty.org. And remember, it's very important that we hear from you, knowing that you're listening and praying. It's a great encouragement to us, and your financial support tells us you believe the Bible teaching that you hear on Grace to You is important for today's church. People need to hear it. Giving to your local church comes first, we affirm that, but we're grateful for any support that you offer beyond that. So thanks for your faithfulness. You can write to us at this address, Grace to You, Box 4000, Panorama City, California, 91412. Or call us anytime toll-free, 1-800-55-GRACE. That's 800-55-GRACE. And now for John MacArthur and the staff, we thank you for listening today. Please be back for another half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Tuesday's Grace to You. Is it the person squirming in the pew or the guy teaching Sunday school? Questions, which one is the enemy of Christ, the spiritual terrorist? Consider those questions with John tomorrow on the next Grace to You.